Guys, thank you so much for joining me here once again on the Free Melon Society. We got a really special guest here today. We've got Mr. Genesis Sunfire with us. And whether you know of him or whether you don't know of him yet, you're going to, and this is going to be a really, really constructive conversation because Mr. Genesis Sunfire has very important experience, a very important life experience that I'd like to share with everybody. And of course, you know, because of my lifestyle and the lifestyle that Mr. Genesis Sunfire has, you know, has gone on, there's a lot of crosstalk between the breatharian movement. Well, we'll get into this, but what he's most renowned for is his choice to eat very, very minimally and live very minimally with periods of no solid foods. And so there's a lot of crosstalk between the fruitarian type of movement and the breatharian community. And we're going to get into all sorts of stuff here. So I don't want to go on too long, but Mr. Genesis Sunfire, like myself, he's an athlete and used to eat lots of awful, terrible foods, just like myself, and then made a transition into a better way of life. But I don't want to speak too much about him. So Mr. Genesis Sunfire, first of all, thank you so much for coming onto this channel with me and offering your insight. I think it's great.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, very much. Thanks for having this old dried up raisin on your show. It's a great honor.
Oh, well, you know, you've done such fantastic work. I've always been a fan. And yeah, no, this is the honor's all mine, my friend. It's all mine. So I guess the first thing I would want to say is, or just, you know, have you say is there any kind of brief background that you'd like to provide? I mean, I know I mentioned that you had come from a similar thing where you were an athlete and you used to eat badly like all of us. Have I got that right? Are there any little tweaks that you'd like to add?
Yeah, that's pretty much. You know what? That's pretty much it, and that's pretty much all the people need to know. I've really exhausted all that. You know, if people want to get to know me more, there's Google.
Yes.
And as I said, I'm a dried up raisin. So, but still, dried up raisins need love too. And there's not really much to say that hasn't already.
Exactly. And because I will post all the links to all of your, you know, all of your stuff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, people can find other interviews that you've done. So let's just get this out here. So because for the sake of this interview, yes, we know that you've done many interviews before. So where you've gone into your background, your biography, all of that kind of stuff. So we'd rather not give what you've already exhaustively provided in other interviews. For those of you who maybe aren't familiar, then maybe go back and watch some other interviews that have already gone on in the past. But I'd like to just, you know, flesh out some more things that we might not have touched on before. First thing I want to do is, because you're most renowned for with an association to the breatharian label. Okay, the breatharian thing.
Right.
Let's define.
You know what I'm most. You know what I'm most renowned for, Eli? I'm most renowned for being a complete a-hole. That's what I'm most renowned for. To be perfectly honest with you, that's what I'm most renowned for. When I was a fruitarian, when I first started being a fruitarian, I had to fight my way up, and that's what I mean. I'm more renowned for fighting and kind of being the last one standing for a while, and that's what I'm most renowned for.
Okay.
I wasn't renowned for being an expert. I wasn't renowned for knowledge or being a great doctor or anything like that. Like, hey, join the club. or being a renowned, you know, physicist or anything like that.
Yeah.
I was just mostly known as a troublemaker. Aggressive black dude, you know, that did all these crazy moves and stuff like that. And that's what I'm most renowned for.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest with you.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of
I can't even tell you how many fights I used to get into.
It is funny though how a lot of the times when people are doing something radically different than the rest of the world is, it's just, you know, it puts you at loggerheads with them. You know, it puts you at loggerheads with them, and it's contentious by nature. You know, it's contentious by nature. So you might have to expect some of that.
I'll tell you something, I wasn't expecting it at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it at all. And it came totally out of the blue, totally by surprise. And I'm the guy from Southeast London. Mm-hmm. So that kind of confrontation, getting that feedback back, mm-hmm. I'm fighting. I'm messing you up, you know what I mean? Because you can't talk to me like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, coming from where I was born and raised, we're fighting. Yeah. So that's the attitude I took into doing this whole Futurian thing in the beginning.
Okay.
I didn't come from a new age, spiritual, whatever. I had no interaction at all. I came from just straight up reality, you know, just straight up Southeast London reality.
Yeah.
And I came into this just trying to be friendly, trying to fit in. And it just didn't end up that way. And as you said, a lot of what came, I just didn't understand. And how I made sense of that was to retaliate back.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. It's interesting how, you know, how that happens. And I was just responding to an email earlier with someone who was wondering, hey, is it normal to be at odds with, you know, family, friends, and friends move away, and you know, people start, you know, disliking you. I'm like, yes, it's normal.
Yep.
That's what happens. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yep.
So you're more renowned for being just an absolute jerk, right? So
yep. That. Absolute.
Yes.
Absolute.
Absolutely. That's so funny. And but of course, you know, then we do have the Breatharian thing. And what's interesting, because listening to your other interviews, there's what I got from you was that you've been pretty outspoken about revealing some truths about the Breatharian community that people might not know. And so what people think Breatharianism is might not be the same thing as the idea they have in their head when they see these gurus and these, you know, Breatharian leaders out there. Here's what I was assuming from what Breatharianism meant. And then you take that and you tweak and modify, and let's see if we can come up with some sort of definition that makes more sense in terms of your experience.
Right.
So from my understanding, it was, I rationally assumed that if someone was eating an awful, adulterated, or concentrated food diet, right, their tissues, their body develops a modality that is less able to pull out nutrition from this bulk food. It's just dull. It's a duller system where they're not as efficient. Yeah. So I assume that if it's the case that person who eats that lifestyle and then someone who eats a very clean, raw living food diet, much, much more sensitive and able to extract more nutrition from less. And so, you know, you go into the liquidarian thing and going on juice cleanses and even just a raw fruit diet. Someone like myself, who is just as capable of being self-sustained off of much less and much less type concentrated food, I simply assume that this scale, this spectrum, it doesn't end there. There's obviously higher relationships where all that's happening in a breatharian is that they're simply getting the same nutrition, but just they have a more sensitive system to be able to extract nutrition from finer and finer elements. So, and that's kind of what I assume from what the term breatharian just another level.
That's a very refinement. Good. That's a very good way of looking at it.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, okay,
that's
so
a very good way of looking at it. That's kind of my way too.
Okay.
Of looking at it. You have mine and your way, right?
Yeah.
Which is fairly down to earth, fairly realistic, fairly practical,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And I'll get into our way and explaining that too, right?
Okay.
But then you have the new age assumption,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the new age assumption is what I bought into.
Okay.
The new age assumption, is running off the edge of a cliff and expecting to fly. That's the new age assumption of what breatharian is. It's no different to going for 100 meters away from the edge of this cliff, sprinting as hard as you can, jumping off the edge of this cliff, and then expecting to fly.
Right.
Right? But that's the assumption I bought into, because that was the assumption that was out there.
Okay.
That was the only assumption that was out there. So the same with fruitarian. I literally had to go in, coming from a background that's not new age, I had to go in, and my black logic says, right, I got to find out the truth. I got to find out what works, and I got to do that, and I got to be world class at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So with the fruitarian, I did that. And there were more truths than lies in the fruitarian community.
Hmm.
Yeah, every now and again, you'd come up against a myth or a kind of an urban legend that wasn't very true.
Okay.
But on the whole, in fruitarianism, there's more truths than lies. And those lies you can easily recover from, right? It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the breatharian, that's a different story altogether.
Hmm.
A complete different story altogether, because you're kind of getting into a new system, right? Just like you said. In fact, it's exactly how you said it. You're having to get into, and this is what's not understood in the breatharian movement, because in the breatharian movement, the spiritual part, and this is from my experience, right? The breatharian movement is in love with the concept. It's not in love with the work.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay.
It's in love with this concept of being able to walk through walls, being
right.
able to adjust your molecules to where you can walk through walls. I was literally asked if I could do that. And they said, oh, but if you're being breatharian for this amount of time, you should be able to alter your DNA. And I said, can you? No. Then what the fuck are you asking me for? You know what I mean? These guys were asking me to do stuff that they didn't even want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then telling me that I should be able to do that.
Okay.
And I'm like, who the hell are you? Who do you think I am? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm human, right? So they're in love with this concept of this really extremely metaphysical, spiritual concept of the story that's constantly being regurgitated, built up, hyped up, and only the chosen ones can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Only the chosen ones. That's not entirely true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was against. That's what I was totally against, because there was more lies than truths.
Interesting.
And it messed me up. Yeah. It messed me up. The only thing that saved me, because I was actually a dumb idiot that was doing it.
Okay.
And it, and because I was coming from an athlete standpoint, I was really pushing that stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was really pushing it. And I was pushing it to be world class, and I was pushing way too hard.
Yeah.
But it was what I thought was to be done. So coming from an athlete standpoint, and I want to be the best athlete, I want to be world class. I'm my coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And in my head, I'm an Olympian. I got to make this thing.
Yeah.
I got to come first, right? Yeah. So I'm doing this. I'm actually doing this.
Yeah.
And then I come to find out that these assholes, they're not really doing it.
Right.
They're just telling a story.
Yeah.
Right? They're just telling a story.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys, especially the community itself, they're not doing it either.
Okay.
And the ones that are attempting, they didn't last as long as I did. I didn't last very long. You know what I mean? Because no one can. Because now I know the truth of it. Now I know the proper truth of it. And it's exactly what you said. But I'm going to go into that in a bit, right?
Yeah.
Now, the community itself, and I hate to say it, because there's some beautiful people within that community, but they're in love with a concept that they're not necessarily wanting to explore.
Okay.
Because I can tell you, when I was pushing it, it was tough. It was beyond tough. But what it did do, it got me ready. And this is why I love myself so much, and I love my higher self and everything to do with me, is that it got me, I was pushing for the, moon, and but it actually, even though I didn't get there, it got me ready for the all-encompassing direction I was to take.
Right.
So all the time I'm thinking I'm a failure, I'm a wuss, I'm a chump, because I didn't make it. And then I've got people calling me a fake loser, constantly calling me a fake, all this blah, 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 all this stuff, the whole stereotypical stuff. I used to get these emails apparently from people in wheelchairs saying in wheelchairs on drips, apparently because they wanted to be like me, and now they're in hospital, all that stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was all bullshit. It's all, sorry for my language, and it's all crap.
Yeah.
All crap. It's all lies. And I didn't realize that until afterwards, but it ruined me. So let's talk about labels.
Yes.
Labels ruined my development.
Yes. Yeah. And
absolutely.
This is really important, because I just want to chime in here for just for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think in seeking for a definition of what we mean by breatharianism, we kind of have to flesh out categories and the problem with that first. And then once we get through that, we can be on our way to creating a better definition, because, and I'll let you continue your thought here, but I just want to provide some of what happens with my experience. So in our sense, so for viewers on this channel, right, we have this term fruitarianism, right? And there are a lot of problems with this, because it engenders some confusion, right? You'll get people out there saying, you know, if I have a leaf of lettuce in a year, you know, some people will say, oh, well, you're not fruitarian then, because, you know, you've had some lettuce. And, you know, it's this problem where we jump into a category and we take that to such an extremity that we lose sight of the principle that we're really after, right? And the principle we're after is a higher state of cleanliness to allow for more spiritual expression.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's so funny. You know, you could be a sprinter. Let's say I'm a sprinter, and then on the weekends I do a little bit of surfing, right? And then imagine someone coming around and say, oh, well, you're not a sprinter because you do a little surfing. It's like, okay, what do you want? You know, I'm a person, you know, I'm not one dimensional, you know? So these categories, if you take them to the extremes, they can be very restricting, and they can pull you away from a better expression of yourself. They can do all this damage. So
that's
the problem with these categories. And with breatharianism, I think it's the same thing. I think what happens is that a person can have a very, very high level of refinement and development in their mental and physical bodies, but that doesn't mean that they never, like a human would, be curious, have one, some days where they do want something else besides what is typically associated with breatharianism. And then someone up from the outside will come in and say, oh, well, you're not breatharian because you had a lemon, or some lemon water or something. It's just like,
yeah.
Well, what do you want? You know, like it's that thing. So
yeah,
these labels and categories can lead us into problems. What they can also create diehards and extremists that lock themselves in these categories with such a fixture that it actually pulls them away from what we're actually doing here, which is cultivating a level of refinement that allows for greater expression of human evolution and humanity. And I think that's the path that we're going. And sometimes we get bogged down in the categories and it causes all these problems. So let you continue with what you were saying. And we had some of the problems with the breatharian community. And so now we have this problem of categories and labels messing you up on your path. So go ahead. I just wanted to
tell you a story.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story, right? When I was doing a breatharian thing, I went to Italy, I was invited out to Italy. Wonderful. I've had wonderful opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And these Italians, right? I flipping love Italians. They're so passionate, right? Now, they were having this argument, like a really heated argument.
Yeah.
And it was going on all day, right? Italians, they're moving their arms, they're shaking their hands, and they're just like, Italians, man. Exactly. They're not even smiling. They're just vigorously just talking, right? And I'm wondering, this going on all day. And I'm wondering, what the hell is going on? So I said, hey, what's the problem? So-and-so eats green apples. So I said, okay, right. So what? But if he eats green apples, he's not fruitarian. So the whole argument was red and green apples, and those that eat green apples were not classed as fruitarians.
Oh my God.
And then they literally broke it down to me, the justification of the argument, green or red apples.
You're kidding.
So I said, okay, so if someone eats a carrot now, are they not fruitarian? No! I'm like, look, man, you guys need to grow up, because, you know what I mean? When there's no food left on the planet, and there's a carrot hanging off a tree, listen, you're going to go for that carrot, you know what I mean? Go for that carrot, eat it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So that's what it does, man.
Mm-hmm.
And some people take it there. Some people won't, mm-hmm. but some people take it there.
Yes,
I remember back in the day, right, when because I started with the likes of David Wolf, and there was another guy called Rene something, but he was obscure, man. But he was one of the old school fruitarians, man.
Mm.
The old school fruitarians, and I'll tell you something, the old school fruitarians, they had it down, and that's who you remind me of. You remind me of an old school fruitarian, right? Now, these guys were amazing, but you never knew it at the time. Mm. You never knew it,
mm-hmm.
but these guys knew it all.
Yeah.
These guys were amazing. So I'll tell you a story. Raw veganism came about, so I remember the shift, came about because there was a conflict between fruitarian, these old school hardcore fruitarians. They were like more like 100%. You've got to be 100%. And that's true. You've got to be 100%, right? You've got to be committed, right? You've got to be strict. Otherwise, it's just not worth it. That's true. That's true. But you've got to cut yourself some slack in the beginning, right? And I'll talk about that as well, right?
Yes.
Now, these guys were staunch, and that's how it should be. When you look at processed food and the battle you've got with that, you've got to be staunch, man,
yeah.
Right? Now, you had the people within that didn't want to be, that weren't so staunch, that weren't so strong-minded. They were weak. You know what I mean? They just didn't see the problem with processed food. They just didn't see the problem with having something every now and again, or having something more often than not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They just didn't see a problem with that. And to a point, yes, there isn't a problem with that. But there comes a point where you have to make a decision.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But they weren't talking about that. They were just talking about, yeah, I'm just going to do 50-50. Mm-hmm. But that 50 ended up being the worst 50% of the processed food you could find.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And the not so healthy 50% of the raw food you could find. But that's where they were taking it.
I see.
Right? They, not all of them were thinking of using it as a transition tool. So that's how war veganism came about, because there was a big split. I remember there was massive arguments, man. And there was a big split, and it went left and it went right. Fruitarians, hardcore fruitarians on the left, raw vegan, this new thing called raw veganism on the right. Yeah. I remember when it was just fruitarianism. You've no idea the amount of in-house fighting there was when it was just fruitarianism. So it ended up splitting. And that's how raw veganism came, because raw veganism was the less, was the more relaxed, was the more, we don't have to be 100% and we can just do whatever we want. Okay. But you found over time, those people had exactly the same issues as the processed food eating people. It just took them a bit longer to get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
it got, the raw veganism got more corrupted, it got more polluted as time went on. The vision was less, it wasn't so focused, the vision was blurry, and it just went on and on and on and on and on to this day, right?
Right.
Eventually the fruitarian even got less staunch, because it wasn't good for business.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good for business, and you was very lonely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You was out, like Rene. Rene always struck me as someone that lived on an island, a tropical island. Because I used to get his newsletters, and I think it was just him.
Okay.
And it was amazing to get one of his newsletters, because it felt like he was getting something from a king. It felt like he was getting something from someone that lived on the moon or something like that. It was that special, and it was that unique,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, the whole fruitarian thing kind of ended up losing its way as well, because one, you couldn't sell it. It was unsellable, and I loved it that way, because it meant you really had to focus on yourself,
mm-hmm.
not on it being a business, not on, because anything that got turned into a business got compromised.
Right.
It got corrupted or polluted, and you had to ease it off because you wasn't going to be able to reach certain people or blah blah. But when you took it for yourself, you can go as hard as you want to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it, as a community, even within the fruitarian movement, that kind of got watered down. That hardcoreness kind of got watered down.
Yeah.
And it's been going that way ever since. That's why I like you, because you remind me of a Rene. You remind me of the old hardcore. Because when you spoke to these old hardcore people, they were just like you. They were level-headed. They were grounded. They knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you never knew it at the time.
Yeah.
So these guys constantly got attacked. These guys constantly got attacked because there was a line that these guys would never cross.
Mm-hmm.
They were fine up to a point. But like me, after, you know, up to a point, they were turning into assholes.
Yeah.
Because they were staunch, they were hardcore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, I don't do that. You know what I mean? So the other person would get offended.
Right.
So that's how the whole fruitarian, the raw veganism, in my eyes, took shape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
There were so many labels, man. There were so many people wanting to class themselves and fighting for a position, identity. You know, because within that, on the raw vegan side, you had all of a sudden the raw gourmet came in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, I'm a raw gourmet. Yeah, I do raw gourmet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
that didn't last long, because it made people more sick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think,
you know what I mean? So that's
Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, go on.
I was going to say, because I like what you said there, because with me, see, I don't feel personally like I'm doing anything that requires a whole lot of discipline, or like I'm not struggling, you know, to stay in my lane and maintain this one image of whatever a fruitarian is. I don't even particularly like using that term. It's just that it's the most popular term to describe something like what I'm doing. Yeah. But in terms of like myself, like it's not that I'm trying to use discipline to stay as a fruitarian. The only thing that I'm doing is what makes the most logical sense for me in this body on this planet right now. And the thing that makes the most logical sense without even recourse to any kind of crazy science is pretty much what I'm doing. And just doing what appeals to me with absolute honesty. And I think that's the difference, is that in my case, I'm just one of the few that's willing to, and the rest of, you know, the people in the community as well, but I'm willing to be extremely brutally honest about what my sensitivities dictate. And so it's not that, you know, we're trying to maintain this image. It's just like, no, I'm just living. But I'm just a regular guy. I'm a regular dude, but just trying to live honestly possible, because, and I think this is very similar to yourself, because, you know, you're a guy, I'm a guy. People are often shocked when they get to know me and they realize like this guy's a goof. You know, he's a joker. Mm. He's a, like, people are shocked when I say, you know, I like watching UFC, you know?
Yeah.
I was a born and raised martial artist. I like tuning into UFC and watching the competition. People will be shocked by this, because they'll have an idea of a fruitarian spiritual thing. And then they'll get like thrown by that. And you know, and I put very much stock into my spiritual development. Yes. They see a guy who's like, you know, oh, never done alcohol. You know, I don't cuss very much. Like all these things. But then he's a martial artist. So like, oh, but how can that be? How can you? I'm a guy. I'm a regular dude. So sometimes people get thrown by this because it doesn't conform to this particular label or conception. Right. And so.
Yeah, it's funny because. You have to understand, right? I'm darker than you. Mm-hmm. I got covered in tattoos. At the time, I was buff as a mofo, right? Now, you have to understand, coming into this predominantly white community, right? Predominantly white New Age community, it was like such passive aggression. And you never knew where it came from.
Yeah.
It was so damn passive, right? Mm. But what you're saying is spot on. There is this expectation that you're supposed to be a certain way, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't that person. In some ways it worked for me. Mostly didn't work for me, and I had to be a complete a-hole. I had to be a fighting machine, right?
Yeah.
To even be able to stand up amongst these people.
Right.
And I tell you, and I'll say this, and this is the athlete in me saying this, a lot of those people wasn't even worthy to stand up amongst me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because a lot of them are coming from hate. A lot of them were coming from, oh, well, if I can't do it, you can't do it, so you must be fake. A lot of people were coming from detox, right? They were just hateful. They were just toxic. They, because, you know, there was no support system for us back in the day. There still isn't, you know, for detox. So people were falling out. people were acidic. People were toxic as hell. It was awful, bro. It was awful, and you were fighting every day.
Yeah.
You were fighting every day. Every time you got onto the boards, you were fighting, because somebody that was nice one day would curse you out the next for a week. For a whole damn week, because they were going through they were going through a layer, right? So you had that, and I triggered being who I am, and being who I was at the time, because I was an idiot posting videos of me doing what you do, doing muscle ups and chin up, one arm chin ups, and throwing myself around a place like it's nothing, climbing trees, climbing skinny ass trees like it's nothing, and jumping over benches and shit. You know what I mean? Just going around triggering people. I didn't mean to. I was just more like, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
This is what I can do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or this is what I did yesterday. I've worked really hard for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that triggered people, because I wasn't supposed to be that way. I was supposed to be white. I was supposed to be frail. I was supposed to be ginger headed. I was supposed to be, you know what I mean? Wearing a loincloth whole day. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I was supposed to be I was supposed to shut the fuck up and stay in the corner, never to be heard. You know what I mean? That's who I was supposed to be. So this whole community, I think things are a little different now, because maybe I kind of opened the door to that. I got people sensitive to that. I got more people to see, oh, there are different types of people here, right? But in fact, I was the guy that brought in the Vibram Five Fingers. That was because of me.
Right.
So whenever you see people wearing Vibrams, that's because of me, even if they don't know it, because I started that shit off.
Right.
Posting pictures with me and my Vibrams, jumping over benches and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that's the community. That's the community, and that's the labels they have to figure out, because a lot of these guys in our community, whether we like it or not, are hippies.
Right.
Are hippies, and they have a certain way of living. They have a certain vision of who's supposed to be who, and who's supposed to be successful, and what type of person do they understand or gravitate to. And that's whether we like it or not. You know what I mean? So someone like you or someone like me, they're going to look at you and say, hey, what are you into? Are you into wheatgrass and stuff? No, I'm into UFC. What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Listen, when I was around, the stuff I would, I'm into muscle ups and burgers. What?
Yeah.
That's so aggressive. Yeah. You know what I mean? Why do you want to do that? Oh, I don't like him. He's so aggressive. Right? And then, of course, people triggered people would try to pry themselves into my circle, or try to infiltrate and try to find out, I think he's full of crap. Yeah, let me go find out. You know what I mean? And then you know something's not right, this person. Yeah. And then it's like they just set you up. You know what I mean? Because you respond defensive towards them, and then see, he's fake, he's not spiritual. He just told me to go F myself. Which I had to tell many people, because you know, back in those days, man, as I said, people were detoxing hard,
right?
Because nobody understood. The gurus would tell everybody, yeah, this is a wonderful lifestyle, but they never told them about the detox. So you got all these weaker people, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, it just is what it is. You had the weaker people, and I was one of them, because I'm a little 5-year-old girl when it comes to detox, man. You had the weaker people, right, falling out in droves. They didn't know how to act, they couldn't behave. You know what I mean? And it was just horrible. It was a really toxic environment, and I feel for the community, because I kind of feel the community's been hasn't been taken care of, and there were people put in to be guardians of the community, and I think they've really failed the community and the lifestyle. I'm really passionate about fruitarianism, and I was heartbroken when I felt that I left it, but still, I was failed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I know you're saying that you felt that way, but I mean, your life has been an inspiration to so many, and it continues to be. So, you know, yeah, I would encourage you, don't feel like that at all, because you've been such a trendsetter in this. And and I think so where I want to go with that is, okay, so we have this understanding now. So for everybody listening, just keep in mind that if you see someone walking on the street, they have developed the ability to bench press 8,000 pounds, and you go to the gym and you see that person lifting only 100 for a workout, you might be tempted to say, oh, well, you're fake. You can't bench press 10,000.
Yes.
You're clearly only lifting 100 pounds. So you can't say.
See, I knew you couldn't do it. I knew you was a fake.
Exactly.
That's what you get. And that needs to stop.
And that needs to stop, right? Because that very person that is lifting only 100 pounds could very well lift 10,000. It's just that he's not choosing to do that right now. Maybe it's just a different workout for that day, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
Okay? So just keep that in mind when we go forward with these labels, okay, and categorizations, because sometimes it leads us into trouble. Now, circling back to what we were saying earlier, would it be safe to say, if we're using that as kind of a rough analogy, that what you've developed in your life is akin to a level of refinement whereby you can exercise that when you choose, and when you don't, it's not that you have cheated or gone back, it's just that in your lifestyle, you now have the option of living with that level of refinement that allows you to be just as nourished with nutrition, but just from finer and finer sources, right? So is that a fairly good place to leave that definition, loose definition, so that people know what we're talking about and what you have experienced in your life? Yeah,
that's absolutely spot on. And I'll tell you, right, that was my goal from day one. That was my goal from day one. But I had to go through initiations. I had to go through my path. I had to go through people. I had to go through brick walls to even try to understand that. Right. Okay. And I'll tell you something. You used the analogy about the guy in the gym, right?
Yeah.
And don't judge that guy. Listen, these labels ruined me. Towards the end of my breatharian days, right?
Yeah.
I didn't care anymore. I didn't care. I told people, look, I'm not going to do this anymore. So I would go into restaurants, and I didn't care who saw me. You know what I mean? I didn't care who saw me. And people did see me. Mm-hmm. And I had to deal with that. And you have to understand, when I got to that point, I was in a bad place, man. I was in a bad place. And I think for the last year of me being in this community, I don't even know what to say, but or even the breatharian community, the last year, I was in and out of restaurants, man.
Mm-hmm.
I completely said, F it. I'm done with this. But you know what I went through, Eli? I had to juggle. I had to think, but am I really done with it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I would eat processed food, and then I would regret it.
Yeah.
And then I would think, oh man, now I know why I was doing that in the first place. Let me try again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me try. For the last year. And you're constantly trying. But the problem is, the pressure is that, oh, but you said you was breatharian, right? People do not understand the fight. They will not let you make mistakes.
Right.
Oh, because you said you was this, right?
Yeah.
They will not let you take a wrong step. You are under such scrutiny. And then if you get seen to be doing something else, oh, you're a fake. In fact, you're a fake by default.
Yes.
If you even if you even try to take ownership of the term breatharian. You're a fake by default, and everybody freaking hates you.
Yeah, that's the problem. Right?
That's literally how it is.
Yeah.
Especially, and I noticed this, especially if people believe you're doing it. And that's why I was hated so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was hated so much as a fruitarian, because I was actually kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people couldn't do that, but they weren't coming from an athlete's perspective.
Yes.
They were coming from this new age, and the new age wasn't getting them anywhere. The new age wasn't supporting them
mm-hmm.
to get shit done. Right. I'm new age as a mofo, Eli, but I put that to the background. When I need to put in work, I put in work. The rugby comes in. The rugby athlete comes back in. The world class athlete comes back in, because that's what I train myself as a person. I say to myself, man, you're a world class athlete at being a fruitarian or whatever this is, right?
Right.
I'm an elite soldier. I'm an elite soldier. I'm doing what an elite soldier would be trained to do. In fact, elite soldiers aren't even trained to do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That makes me, in my eyes, that makes me world class at this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right? So I can't come into this wishy-washy or, well, let me just see how it goes. No, I've got to attack this
right. With
force, man.
Right.
But not everyone's built like that.
Yeah,
and that's where the problem is, and those people need to be supported. People like me needed to be supported, because it was lonely out there for me.
Mm-hmm.
People like you need to be supported, because just because you seem successful doesn't mean to say that you don't have your struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody needs to be supported, and the fruitarian community, I feel, needs to really look at themselves, and we need to be a whole bunch more supportive towards each other. We've got to stop asking, oh, how long have you been fruitarian? I used to hate that freaking question.
Yeah.
Because for some reason it always used to irk me. And I never knew why.
Yeah.
How long have you been fruitarian for? And then they want to hear six years like you. They want to hear something respectable, right? Ooh. If you tell them, oh, I've been fruitarian for two days, they look at you sideways. You know what I mean? Oh, 2 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People got to stop asking that damn question, man, because it's loaded.
Yeah.
We've got to be supportive. We've got to cut out the labels, man. We've got to cut out the labels, because that comes with a whole bunch of judgment. It's unnecessary. And I love the way you put it, because it's more inclusive and it's more open, because it's exactly what we're doing, Eli. We're not trying to be fruitarians.
Yeah.
That just locks us down into a box, man, a very small box.
Right.
We're trying to be everything. And that's what I tried to say earlier, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't regret the breatharian at all, because it got me prepared for the end game.
Yeah.
The end game is fruitarianism, liquidarianism, and breatharianism, all in one bag.
All together, yes. Yes.
All together.
Yes. Essentially.
The mistake we've been making is separating it all.
Right.
That's the big mistake we've all been making, is separating it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Separating fruitarianism and then saying, oh, that's all you need to do. It's not.
Yeah.
Separating well, nobody even wants to be liquidarian.
Yeah.
But anyway, separating breatharianism and saying, oh, you can't have anything. The horrible part is that, you know, once, and you might know this, once you've gotten to a certain point, there is that ability to not want to eat.
Yeah.
But that don't mean to say you do that shit forever.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can do it for a couple of weeks, or just because you can do it for a week. I always say, right, if you can do it for 2 weeks, dry fast for 2 weeks, that means you still got resources inside you.
Yeah.
That can be used, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're struggling to get 1 day in, right, and you're quite advanced, then you know you're down to the nub.
Mm-hmm.
You're down to nothing. You know what I mean? And you gotta, and that's where it's harder to drive fast. But that's when you're fairly advanced. right? And you know yourself, right? You know you're very lean, you know you've got very low body fat, and you know, right, it's not that I can't fast because I used to be able to do XYZ amount of months or days or weeks, and now I can't even get in a day. You know you've burnt through your resources. I've had experience of that, right? And I've had to, all right, I'll share this. I've done what is in the UK called the Three Peaks, where you climb the highest, the three highest mountains in the UK, right? It's a special challenge, right? It's called the 24-hour Three Peak thing. I've taken two bunches of fruitarians up there, right? Now, they all thought I would just fly up there and fly back down. And so did I. My first one, I thought, oh, I'll ace this, right? The first one, I was the last. They were waiting for me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Why? Because I had no resources.
Yeah.
I had nothing left. So when it came to doing them kind of inclines, my body said, okay, we gotta go at a certain pace. And that pace was way too slow. They left me in the dust, man.
Yeah.
These guys left me in the dust. And that's stuff that you gotta deal with, but you gotta know. Years later, I did it again, and I thought, oh, but I must be out there. Let me just see what happens, because I understood that time. I got it, you know what I mean? I did it the second time, same thing happened. It was awful. These guys left me in the dust, man.
Yeah.
One guy even said to me, man, I remember when you could do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man. That was the uppercut, man. That was the uppercut.
Yeah, I was just about to say that sounded.
Yeah, that got me full on the chin.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to do with that stuff, man. And I had to take that stuff on the chin.
Yeah.
But we did it. We did it. But I had to go at a slower pace.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Because these things you have to understand. Once you've been in the game for a certain amount of time, your body gets into every nook and cranny, gets into every place where you could possibly be storing stuff, and it will use it up. And that's where my thing with breatharianism comes in, right? Is that you don't necessarily, and this is my experience, right? And I pushed it. You don't necessarily reach out. Your body doesn't necessarily reach out for energy from the air. It doesn't necessarily reach out for etheric energy. If it did, I wouldn't have any issues. So I know for a fact it doesn't do that.
Right, okay, that's important.
Right, I know for a fact it doesn't do that, and I've given it many opportunities to do that, and again, I've pushed it. When I was doing breatharian, right, and I did it for couple years even without people knowing, right?
Yeah.
But what got me through that, I wasn't 100% taking nothing the whole damn time and just breathing the air, and the air changes into chemicals within my body and my lungs turn into a power plant. No, I was doing salt water flushes, because I realized intuitively I still had to clean. If I went breatharian and took nothing, I would have been so damn toxic.
Right. Okay.
It would have killed me.
Yeah.
And this is something that people don't understand. You've got to clean for decades.
Yes.
Before you can even try and do anything like breatharianism.
Yeah.
And try and, you know, get your body to tap into this and tap into that. And on top of that, the body don't even do that.
Yeah.
I don't even believe it's the body's job. You know what I mean? I don't think it does it to the degree that we assume it does. I think it does it a little bit, but I don't think it does it to the degree like, oh, I can just recharge. No, I don't think it does that, because I think it's too primitive.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think we overextend ourselves. I think we as humans, we need to be going at a slower pace.
Yes.
A much, much slower pace, because we need to be eating much, much less.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So technically, that's what I have seen, is that we don't need anywhere near what we have.
Yeah.
We don't need it. Even as fruitarians, we don't need it. But it takes, but you've got to detox.
Yeah.
You've got to detox. And that detox is a lifetime's work. And you may or may not end up at the point where you can be or class yourself as a breatharian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because even doing what I was doing, I was still saltwater flushing on a daily basis for years,
mm-hmm.
Eli. Mm-hmm. A daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes I would try and take a break, but with what I was doing, it was just coming out of every hole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I had to flush the stuff out. So that's what actually kept me alive, I believe. Yeah. If I didn't do that, I would have been one of these stories you hear about online. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, someone trying breatharian found dead in the caravan. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel that's what saved me. And I feel that's what the damage labels can do.
I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because it actually leads me into one of the other topics that I wanted to jump on. And what I'm referring to is that process being a lifestyle, being a lifetime approach, being decades in the making. Mm. Where I wanted to lead you on that is, okay, so we understand what we're talking about here now. And you said something just beautiful, which I think is going to be so helpful for people, is that recognizing that what we've done here is we've taken the concept of breatharianism, we've separated it from what we think we're talking about. And now what it is just a level of refinement that allows you to include a spectrum of tools.
Exactly. So
we have breatharianism, we have liquidarianism, we have cleanses of each of those varieties. And then we have periods where you're not using those at all. And it's this range of things that you can use as a tool for your particular situation in time at that moment, right?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
That is what we're working at here. Now
that should be a lifetime's work.
Yes.
Yeah. Eli, I'll go as far as to say, right, that's all you need to do.
Yeah.
That is literally, you nailed it, you smashed it out of the park, home run, interview's over. That's all you have to do. Literally, seriously, that's my big thing is when you've gotten past your detox, even the worst part of the detox, which might take 3 months, it might even take a year for some people, then you can talk about your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the initiation everybody needs to be challenged by.
Mm-hmm.
That is what separates the men from the boys, is your detox. If you cannot get past the detox, right? If you cannot navigate your way through the detox, you ain't worthy to get past, to get any further. Because to get further, you've got to have a level of wisdom and dedication, whether people want to hear that or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is some serious stuff, man, especially now with what's going on with the C word and the governments and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be so awake now. You've got to be so conscious now.
Yeah.
Listen, I've always felt this was my destiny. This is my path. This is what I was born for. This is my thing. And that's why I've always taken the whole spiritual side so seriously, right? Mm-hmm. It's because I've always felt this was my destiny. Now, if you felt this, now that should be amplified with everything that's going on. Now that should be amplified because you should know, oh, I better get serious, because I knew that a year. I knew that 10 years ago. And I didn't do anything. Oh, damn. Now it's in my face, you know? So what I'm saying is what you just said, and you nailed it. That is literally all we need to focus on, because that is literally or you need to get past.
Perfect.
Once you get past that, the world's your oyster. Knowing what I know now, the world's your oyster once you get past that. But you've got to get past that. And getting past that is a lifetime's work.
Yes.
It just depends on how you approach it. Maybe you can reduce the time a little. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our downfall, us old school guys' downfall, is that we never knew that at the time. We tried to do this in 2 weeks.
Right. Oh.
And then we got sick, and then we got detoxed, and it's like, oh, this detox is in the way. Oh, and then you have the weaker ones saying, oh, you know what? I did vegetarianism for 2 weeks, and I was sick all the time. Of course you were sick. I tried to do vegetarianism for 30 days, and look what happened to me. I was sick. I got spots. Of course you did, because it's a lifetime's transition. Lifetime's transition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's...
We're talking about your body's got crap. Mm-hmm. Layers of crap, and you've got to get down to that. Not only have you got to get down to that, you've got to activate that shit, man.
Yeah.
You've got to awaken your body to say, hey, we can do that stuff now. Let's go. Your body's still shaking its head talking about, yeah, but I just got up. You've got to go, man. You got to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how I see it. You've got to wake yourself up. You've got to shake yourself up. Got to be good to yourself. Got to be gentle sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to understand. I got to just spend 3 months in bed, but you've got to navigate through this, and that's the hardest part. Is the beginning.
Perfect. And it's this is fantastic because of course I want to respect your time. The last couple of little things to encapsulate and wrap things up. So we've got this much, much better concept now. And now looking at some of the other things that's happened in the breatharian community, we've seen these things like, come do this course for 2 weeks and become a breatharian.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Boy, don't get me started, man. I was trying to be good. I was trying to be good. No, I've seen come to our retreat, and I'm not going to name names. Come to our retreat, and you'll be breatharian, right? You'll be able to have soup. You'll be able to have stews, casseroles. You know what I mean? Come and do our stuff, right? And then you find out, oh, did you have anything? Yeah, everybody was eating casseroles and stews. And it was wonderful. This is what I'm saying, Eli. People are in love with the concept. If I went in and said, I'm breatharian, Genesis Sunfire, and I'm going to do a camp, I'm going to do a retreat. Yeah, and everybody comes, right? I've got 30 people at my retreat. And then every day I feed them McDonald's. Not one of them is going to complain because they're in love with the concept. You'll go out to Burger King and McDonald's every day. Not one of them is going to complain because they're going to believe they're somehow still tuned in. They're still tuned in to becoming a breatharian.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've seen people come out of the retreat that day, and I've asked them, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm off to get cake. A whole damn cake. A big ass, round ass, record player size, vinyl record player, 12 inch cake. And they've just come out of a breatharian retreat. This is what I'm talking about, man.
Oh.
And people cannot point to me and say I'm lying because they know they've been to them.
Yeah.
They've been to them.
I don't mean to laugh.
I've been to places, right, where everyone's supposed to be speaking and everyone's supposed to be a breatharian in their own right. And then you go back to where, everybody's staying, and they're offering you juice and food and grapes and stuff.
Yeah.
They're all supposed to be breatharian.
Yeah. you know, when I looked at those, I'd been offered many times to go to some of those retreats. Like I've had many offers to, you know, advice to do these things. Or people just referring me to them and saying, hey, Eli, you know, you'd probably enjoy this, you'd like that. But there was something that I could intuit about that, knowing that everything that I'd been through in my life, right, up until that point, right? And then seeing someone put out, you know, advertise that you can cultivate breatharianism in 2 weeks, right? And I look at the process and it's like, oh yeah, it's a couple of days of eating fruit, 2 days or whatever. And then a couple, and then I'm thinking, yo, I've already smashed through 10 days of like dry fasting. And
that's right. That's right. So that's the scam.
What's going to happen at this course? And so I think what I naturally intuited was that this is not something that you can accomplish in 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, whatever. A gradual sensitization. It's a gradual modality of development and reform as your body, your spirit, and the energy inherent in your body is slowly changing and responding to the new vibrational energy that you've subjected yourself to. And it's going to take time. And it's not going to, so we have to understand that there is a deep and slow process here that that we're going to have to chip away at, and you're not going to get it from one particular retreat or whatnot. So I think I recognize that without knowing any better, And now what I wanted to ask you is, we can take it for granted, right? You don't have to flesh this out because there's 1,000 different ways you can approach. But in terms of starting, like if you're just trying to cultivate and just start yourself on this path of refinement where you can get to that place where you can have a universal type of comfort with fruit and leafy greens, liquids, and then the absence of all of it, and then use it. So to get to that place, right, what would just be the very basic simple steps that you need to do in order to just at least get on the path, the basics.
Okay.
What would you say?
The basics, right? Yeah. Again, it's difficult because you've got to look at the individual, you've got to look at the individual's strengths, look at the individual's mindset, where that individual's coming from. It's very, very personal. But if I had to talk to someone like, because I coach my wife, right? In fact, I'll tell you this story, right? Mm-hmm. Rescued me because I was down. It was man down, right? I did this preferring thing for decades. It wore me out, burnt me out. People burnt me out. People absolutely screwed me up the butt. Everything, man, everything crappy that could possibly go on, I endured it, right? Mm-hmm. And in the end, I just said, screw that, right? I was towards the end, the whole social media thing came about and the trolls and the people just being nasty. And I've just seen it evolve ever since. So now I realize, okay, it wasn't personal. But back then I didn't know that, correct? I didn't know. I just took it real personal for a number of years, right?
Yeah.
So by the time I met my wife, I was already done, I think, for about a year, right, in my mind. So anyway, cut long story short, my wife said, I said to my wife once, hey, what do you want to do and who do you want to be? I want to be fruitarian. And I thought, fucking asshole. Because that's the last thing I wanted to hear. You know what I mean? That's the last thing I wanted to hear from her mouth. Right? So I thought to myself, okay, universe, you're really pushing me here. Okay. So I love her to bits and I couldn't trust anybody, her to go to anybody else. So I said, you know what? I want to get back in the game and I'm going to teach her. But this time, I'm going to be the student. I'm not going to be the gung-ho athlete anymore. I'm going to be the student. I'm going to be the humble student, right? Now, you know, well, me, there ain't much humble about me at the end of the day. I'm Aries. You know what I mean? I used to be an athlete, so there ain't much humble about me, but I'm still, you know, dedicated to being a good student, all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I've done. It's been 9 years, Eli. Mm. Seven of those years have been transitioning.
Okay.
Two, just been able to start the basics.
Mm. 2 years.
Right?
2 years, guys.
Yeah. No, 9 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. It's been 7 years transitioning. Two of those years I've been eating crap. I was.
Oh, okay.
Because I said, I'm going to eat shit and die. So the first 2 years I blew up because I was doing a preparing thing. So if I so much as looked at a grain of sugar, I gained 1 kg. I blew up in those 2 years. I got really, really sick. I was way over being pre-diabetic, right?
Mm.
I had to lose after those 2 years when I decided to help out the wife and coach the wife, I ended up having to lose 30 kg.
Wow.
Just to break even.
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to break even, right? It's taken me, after those 2 years, it's taken me 7 years. It's taken us 7 years just to transition. And I did this because of my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, we're not going to rush this. So we're going to take it real slow. So we ended up doing it and ended up taking 7 years to transition. And with the last 2 months, we've been 100%. And what we've done is we literally took 7 years to transition. So we kind of had our moments where we were 100% and then we dropped off. Whenever the wife would get stressed out, okay, we went back. We took it a step back. Whenever she would have breakdowns, we took it a step back. Whenever she'd have tantrums, we took it a step back. All right? And that went on for 7 years. So we've eventually now, the last 2 months, we've been 100%, and we've been able to kind of pick the amount that we have. We've been able to experiment with my theory, which, Eli, I thought I was the only one. But now I know you figured it out too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking fuming. So now I'm not the only one. All right. So that's what it's literally been. So to answer your question, a bloody long time.
Yeah.
And within that time, Eli, you've got to play around with your body. You've got to play around. It's also difficult because a lot of people are coming from the standpoint of eating as much as you can to get by, but eventually you've got to get to the point to where you've got to ask yourself, what's the least I can take?
Yes.
And get by. But eventually you've got to get to the point to where you've got to ask yourself, what's the least I can take?
Yes.
And get by. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that's taken 7 years, bro. That's taken 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still newbies. Because I know from my own experience, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else, right? These last 2 months have been hell because we transitioned and stuff. And I must admit, I've forgotten a lot of what I've been through in the past regarding the detox.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff I'm being reminded, right, but I'm so glad I have the previous experience, because in that 7 years I've had to go, and that's how I found you. In that 7 years I've had to go back to the mainstream to find out. In fact, over the 7 years I did all the different diets, right? The keto, the all the different stuff, you know. Get, you know, still involving cooked food in the early years,
yeah.
And reducing that, and just to see if the mainstream information worked, if the mainstream information was legit, right? Because if it was legit, that would be more information for me, more tools for me. None of that shit is real. None of that shit is legit. You have to really be able to read between the lines And again, you have to really understand that everything's personal. Yeah. Everyone coming from a different level of conditioning, right? So yeah, none of that stuff worked. I, to lose that 30 kg, I had to damn near walk myself to death,
mm-hmm.
right? I had to damn near starve and walk myself to death.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the best way, but I had to do that just to survive, man.
Yeah.
Just to even break even,
yeah.
right? So it wasn't the best way. In fact, the picture you see on my Facebook, right? On my profile picture, that was from then.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't like that the physique I have there, because it wasn't how I intended it to be. But nothing else was working. So I had cardio, cardio. You know what I mean? So now what I'm trying to do is do it the bodybuilding way, doing the strength work and the blah, blah, blah. But what's happened is I've been knocked out for 2 months because detox has wiped me out. Oh, man. Wow. Joints.
Wow.
Joints. Oh, on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
For weeks on your body, man. And I forgot the body breaks you down to the last strand fiber.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then there's that split second where it builds you up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough for you not to lose that limb.
Right. Yeah.
For the arm not to fall off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get pushed to within an inch of your life with this detox thing, man.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's so easy to look at these YouTube videos of former fruitarians saying, oh, I did fruitarian 2 years and it made me sick. Of course it made you sick.
Of course.
It's a lifetime's work. You know what I mean? Two fucking years. You know what I mean? 2 years ain't shit. Of course it made you sick. I got spots on my back. Of course it gave you spots on your back. You know what I mean? Man up.
That's so refreshing.
You know what I mean? But
but
it's so easy to look back and listen to these videos and be swayed and think, I'm in such pain. And this guy's saying that the same thing happened to him. Oh, crap, I better stop doing it.
Yeah.
Because you want to bail out. You want to bail out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, good or bad, I have previous experience. I'm being reminded, yeah, but this is what I went through in Mexico. This is what I went through in Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the worst heat conditions. And I still have those days etched in my inside of my skull, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is for the last 2 months, and the wife's just started. For the last 2 months, I've been bedridden half the time. I'm not exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally have to crawl to get out of bed, because every joint hurts, every joint is on fire, my body is taking the energy, and I'm literally feeling my body take everything that was built from the cooked food,
mm-hmm.
and burn it,
yeah,
to where I have zero strength to support myself with. You understand?
Wow. Yeah.
But I'm getting to the point now after 2 months where I get stronger by a millimeter every day.
Amazing.
So yeah. I can actually feel that. So that, and that's what gives me the heart to carry on, because I've been in tears nearly every night thinking I can't take this no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying, man. You and as I vowed to be a student of this, I said I was gonna, good or bad, I was going to monitor everything so I know why not to go back.
Right.
To remember the pain I had to go through. So I remember why not to go back.
Right.
Because I know how this goes, man. It's so easy to go back, because we can stand here and say, I'm fruitarian now and I'm not going to eat any more cooked food. And I've listened to Eli. And he said, and he was really convincing. And now I'm super enthusiastic and super inspired. 30 minutes later, you want a coffee.
Yeah.
It's so easy to go back when your stomach's empty, but when your belly's full, oh, you're so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
When your stomach's empty, it's way harder, man.
Yeah.
To get in that consistency and to get in that time. So what I would say to answer your question is, you know, you've got to get through your detox first, man. You've got to get through your detox tox first and whatever that looks like to you.
Okay.
That could be a lifetime's journey, but there will be a point to where you can actually divert yourself. You know, when you can get to the point where you can get 100% fruitarian, that's all you need to do is just be 100% fruitarian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My thing is actually not to be fruitarian. My thing is not to have processed food. You could be damn near carnivore if you wanted to.
Yeah.
As long as it's not cooked.
But yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, carnivore is less of an evil, but to me it's not ideal. But if that's your thing, that's your thing. But my main thing is get off the cooked food.
Yes.
Period.
Full stop.
Get to the point. Yeah, get to the point where you can release that.
Yeah.
Then you can talk about options.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's about getting in the time, you know, I always tell a wife, you've got to change your mindset. You've got to work on it, nurture your mindset every day. So by the time you get to 5 years, you've got something to own. You've got something to look back on and say, right, I started off here, now I'm here. Right? You've got something nobody can take away from you.
Yes.
You can see the lies. You can see what you've been through physically, right? Nobody can say anything to you because you've been through that. You've been through the knees, you've been through the elbows, you've been through the hip joints, you've been through that, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
Now you're twice as strong. You know what I mean? Nobody could take that away from you, but you've got to nurture your mindset to be able to withstand that pain, to be able to navigate your way, to be able to, you know, go through the YouTube and read between the lines and not take everything as if it refers to you. And all that stuff, you know what I mean? In fact, I sent the wife a lot of your videos when I first found you. Because it would be the stuff that I would have said, you know what I mean? So it saved me. You saved me a lot of work and and time and energy.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Oh, I'm joking. She'll kill me with you. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, no,
you know, so
that's amazing. And I think what you just said is really interesting for this conversation, because you mentioned like reading between the lines, filling in the blanks. And what we've gone through so far in this conversation, I think is so amazing in that. Even if we did, because there's lots of little individual things and details we could have fleshed out, but in covering what we did, I think what it does is it allows the person listening to answer their own questions, right? I think what it allows us is to give us a very good general pulled back perspective, and we can recognize, oh, okay, well, that helps to answer this, right? Okay, well, what do I make of detox? And well, there's this conversation is really put into perspective what detox is, how long it can take, all this kind of stuff without having to specify, right? So this is why this conversation, I think, is going to be really important for the community, because it kind of grounds this entire life experiential process in a real framework that we can tangibly access. It allows people to read between the lines and answer their own particular questions from your experience and my experience.
Yeah.
So this has been so helpful. Yeah. So, and sorry, you were about to say something else there.
You know what I want to say, right? We need better guardians of this fruitarian, right? We need better guardianship. Something I've been feeling for a long time is, we need an association. We need a body, a governing body that everyone can go to for the information, for the right information. Because I'm sick of going to YouTube. I'm sick of friends. I'm sick of having to truth seek. I just want to go somewhere to pick up some tips or reminders, or just to be involved in it. You know what I mean? I've been feeling for a long time that Kutarianism needs an association. And it was brilliant. I don't know if you ever saw it. I think it was Fruitarian.com, right?
Okay.
And it was awesome. It was a website, and it had every information you could have possibly wanted. Oh. They explained a detox and explained. It was really good.
Hmm.
But something happened, it disappeared.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. It was really good. It had page after page after page of information for people. Yeah. Good information too, not any claptrap, nothing spiritual, nothing new age. It was real good information. I don't know the guys that did it, but I take my hat off to them. But we need something like that, and we need. Yeah. I always wish that the gurus would get together. In old schools, there was people like Gabriel Cousins, Paul Neesons. They were the guys that would doctor people. They were the guys that would physically be doctors, right? Mm-hmm. I always admired those guys. No, but guys that would take everyone out, run them ragged, bring them back in, feed them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. I just wish we could all get together, man. Yeah. I just wish we could all get together and provide something for the whole community that they could come to and get stable information from stable people.
Yes.
That's what I like. And but you know, humans being humans and stuff. This community has always been toxic, but I think it's because it's going to be because of the nature of the game. You know what I mean? And I think if people could understand, okay, when you feel this way, it's probably better that you don't get on the boards, but you can go to this website and get information and blah 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 and do stuff constructively rather than get on and complain about someone else doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
these are all developments that I think are going to be instrumental moving forward, especially like you said, with the current climate of things, the current fear climate, and just, you know, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
We're gonna need people that just really put this all in perspective and get, you know, establish a hub where everyone can go to just really cut through all the bull crap, right? And all of I say new age, the new age community. There's a lot of good to be found in the new age community, but there's also a lot of
that
you need to filter.
There
out.
Is.
You need to have your really, really calm, rational-headed discernment about you so that you can filter out the worst of the new age community. That's amazing. And this is great. This is great. This has been such a good conversation. And I really think this is helpful to everybody and will be helpful for people. So, and of course, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it really has. Very, very last question. Super simple for you.
Mm.
What's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal.
Yes. If you have
I've to. Got to say, to be quite honest with you, is mandarin juice.
Mandarin.
I love mandarin juice.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mandarin juice.
It's good. Yes.
I love that. Yeah. I love it.
Beautiful.
So there you go. The secret's out.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
The big scandal. The big scandal's out. The Mandarin Gate.
I know. It's so unfortunate, but no, this is great. You know, you've provided such amazing context for everybody, and I'm really happy with this. So, guys, I hope you appreciated this out there from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for tuning into this conversation with us. Make sure to subscribe to this channel if you like this conversation and you want to see other videos that are along this similar topic. And give it a like and comment down below if you have any other questions or comments you'd like to share. Our guest, Mr. Genesis Sunfire, thousands and thousands of thanks to you. You've been an inspiration to myself and many other people out there, and you continue to be, and you will continue to be, because that's your dharma. That's, you know, that's what you're here for.
I'm back in the game, so the asshole lives.
Yeah.
Don't fall right again.
You know what? And there's going to be lots to learn from assholes like yourself and myself in the future. So,
No doubt.
Perfect. No, you're amazing, my friend. Thank you so much, guys. I hope you enjoyed.
Love you.
Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you on the next one. Okay.
Love you.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. God bless.